Can we make the cold open Peter saying, I don't like UConn?
Yeah. Yeah, we absolutely can.
I don't really like UConn.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dime Bat Podcast. I am Tyler. Today we have Ronx.
I'm Ronx.
And Peter Bard.
Did you see that I changed the general topic to annoyances in the pubis?
This is your opening? Is that your tagline?
You were time and that was your opening.
And yeah, Megan Bard.
Wasn't going anywhere.
Hello.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thanks.
And Kevin Meacham.
R.I.P. to Ronx.
Yep. Ronx is dead.
Rest in piss.
And the Dime Bat Podcast, as always, is brought to you by J. Timothy's Tavern in Plainville, Connecticut, which is
best
cool.
Best wings outside of the Andromeda Galaxy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Known for their wings. So we are recording this on Wednesday evening. UConn, like 20 hours ago, lost to Indiana in Madison Square Garden. Yeah. Ew. Boy, that was a rough game to watch.
Ugh.
That was a bad basketball game. Is Indiana in the American now?
I think so.
They must be.
That was classic.
I've heard of it.
AAC basketball.
No.
Is it a directional Indiana?
If they change
Southern
their
Indiana
name
is
to where the fuck is IU again?
Bloomington.
They call it Bloomington State. They can join the American.
Honestly, they might have more success. I don't know. You guys have any like big picture takeaways? I mean, there was a lot of bad things that we'll probably get to. Do we want to start with the good thing and talk about the defense?
Defense was good.
Defense was good.
It was pretty cool.
Kicked ass.
Except for like 2 minutes against Joey Bronk. Everything else was great.
Man, that was brutal. Maybe we're pivoting already to bad things, but like the refs really scared Carlton.
The refs were very
for a little bit there.
Well, it didn't help when they took our shot blocker out of the game for the, you know, second 10 minutes of the first half. That was not great. Calling bullshit fouls on a cook who was the best player on the floor all night.
A cook of four.
He looked, to go back to good things, when he was not being called for bullshit fouls, he looked fantastic last night.
Yeah, both he and Carlton, I thought, played very, very well.
Yeah.
My point was, I don't think Brunk, like, Brunk. He was really good for like a Cox. Few minutes when I think we were really scared of fouling people. And
yes.
Other than that, he was nothing spectacular. So
yeah, it was nice to see, because I feel like we've talked a lot about like, can they sustain that level of defense for 40 minutes? And other than that, maybe like 2 minutes there, they did. They played solid defense from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. And what are they up to now, Meech?
34th in KenPom defensive efficiency, which last year they were 125th.
Is that better?
So this is better then.
Hmm.
It is considerably so. Yes.
I went to music school.
And I
so
think
it would be an improvement.
Got it. Is that what the I stands for?
That's what I stands for. One could say that the team is making the leap in year two of Dan Hurley's defense.
One might say it.
One might.
What were Rhode Island's defensive efficiencies while he was there? Put you on the spot.
Yeah, good thing that KenPom opened. First year they were 172. Second year they were 67th.
That's considerably better.
They made a considerable leap in year two of the Dan Hurley defensive scheme. And then they were 13th in year three. So
13th in the country?
Yep.
In
Hot
defense?
Damn.
Yep.
And where were they generally around there, or did they kind of regress a bit after that?
His last three
65.
Yeah, his last three seasons, they were 65th, 30th, and 46th. So still pretty good, but not elite like they were that 1 year.
The thing I thought was nice to see is because, like, Indiana is a pretty physical, strong team. And I always kind of worry about, like, a cook getting maybe pushed off the block. And, like, Carlton's not really, like, super athletic. But it didn't seem like the size of this team bothered them at all.
A cook's a lot stronger than we thought he was going to be, like,
totally.
Physically stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked like a little just like, very narrow, like he was made out of reeds.
Willowy is the word you're looking for.
What is that?
Willowy.
He looked willowy. There we go.
I got you.
But I don't know. He got stronger, but like he doesn't get pushed around nearly as much as you would expect a guy with that build to get pushed around.
He also thought looked much better rebounding.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be pretty mediocre rebounding, and he, at times, is our best rebounder.
His basketball instincts are miles ahead of where I would have guessed. Like,
why would you guess they weren't good, Tyler?
I just thought he would come in and be a long guy, more in a sort of like the DeAndre mold. But he has genuinely, I mean, like upper tier shot blocking instincts, but his rebounding instincts are really good too. Like, he is trying to think of like a good comparison, but like
Daniel, it's, I went back and I watched some freshman Daniel. Yeah. It is like the way they move is so similar. The way their arms are, like the way they're built, the way they block shots is so similar.
Daniel, come on the pod.
Go Coach Central.
The other thing too is like in the air with those lobs, his timing is good. His hands are good. Like things that always seem like they're a little more like high skill that take a little more finesse and often a little more time for these players to get good at. But like he's got all those things.
Have we ever had a freshman this well-rounded? I guess Daniel, but like in the last 10, 15 years, like the only thing he kind of struggles with is his handle's not great.
Are we talking about bigs specifically?
Yes. Yeah. Bigs specifically.
Other than maybe Villanueva would be the only other guy.
Right.
Yeah.
We've had projects and we've had guys who turned out to be really good. But Akook, like his, the way he runs, the way he, you know, rebounds, the way he kind of can play offense and can score, he really is almost a complete package as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, Villanueva is not a bad comp overall, I don't think.
How many blocks did Akook have last night? I'm not looking at the stats right this second.
Five.
I think it was five.
Four of them came in like a 6-minute span.
Yeah, and then he got called for a second foul, and it just took him out of it. Do you think Hurley should have gone back to Akook in the first half with two fouls?
I think so. I think when the lead was evaporating, that he should have put him in.
He just completely changed the game when Indiana had the ball in the half court and Akook was in. Like, it seemed he made that much of a difference, and we trust that he's a smart player. I think I would have gone back to him.
The frustrating thing is though, he actually wasn't fouling.
That's like, the thing, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, that's true. I don't remember what the time situation was, but like there was a point where he was playing so well, and I literally said to you guys, he's playing too well, the refs are going to take him out of the game. Yeah, and then is what happened. Like, they would have taken him out of the game again, I think. There's this weird thing. It's this weird thing where like you watch enough college basketball, and you can just sort of like, you know, you get so familiar with the way like the games just play out with the odds over and over again, and you're like, oh, right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, when momentum's building, someone's going to get a loose ball and hit a three. Like, and it's the same thing. Like, if you have a big man who has one foul and he starts getting hot in the first half, that second foul is coming soon. It's just how the game works. It's so fucking weird.
Maybe, but also, you're pretty fatalistic.
I was right.
Like, you, but yeah, you were right this time. But, like, there are a lot of times the guy's having a great first. Like, the Carlton the other day had a great game. Got one foul and never got another foul. Clear. I mean, it happens. Akook got screwed last night, and we got screwed as a result.
I mean, it's not a universal truth, but like, it felt like it was going to happen, and it happened.
Always feel like something bad's going to happen.
I'm right.
That's how you
almost all the time.
Though the refs did seem like they wanted to insert themselves into the game pretty much from the beginning, which is always a frustrating experience.
Where
were they from? Who was reffing last night? Ooh, what league?
Question. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, but then they also like missed ridiculous. Like, Polly got mugged on that three at the end of the first half. Like, the dude jumped into him and they didn't call a foul. And I was like, what? How? That is the most obvious foul I've ever seen. How do you not call that? Like, but then they called Polly for like literally touching the guy, barely touching the guy's back when he was guarding him on defense. Like,
That was a terrible call.
There were some crazy, crazy choices. Because I've seen a lot like, oh, they were bad both ways. And I was like, maybe they were, but like, I don't think that's true. No. I don't.
At halftime, the Indiana fans in the Blogger Boys chat actually said the refs have screwed you guys.
It was really frustrating.
Even Indiana fans recognized
it. Ooh, that's, we can use that in court. That's evidence.
I present Exhibit A.
Back to the point of putting Akook back in. I'm actually okay with how he wasn't, but there was one, like, maybe 4-minute stretch when it was all the B squad on the court and they were just getting fucking worked. That's when I was a little bit mad.
Can we talk a little bit about Hurley's sub patterns? Because he's done this the last couple games where he'll bring in like five new guys and it never goes well.
I mean, it worked really well for that three game stretch when Brandon Adams was Steph Curry.
So I think I think there was a difference between yesterday and like when he did it in the Iona game.
Totally.
And they looked terrible while Iona was coming back. I think here, I remember he put the B squad in like right before the under 12 timeout, which made sense. You give guys a little extra rest. And then he had them still playing after the break. And I was thinking he wants to give those guys as much of a rest as he can, knowing that they're probably going to have to play the entire second half. Then he couldn't put a Cook back in or decided not to with the two fouls. I believe you kind of either turned the ball over or gave up the basket, probably both, right out of that timeout. And immediately, I think it was Polly got right back up off the bench and came back in. I think this time it was more of a rest thing. I think against Iona, it was probably more, we're going to win this game anyway. Let's see what these guys can do.
But I think there's ways to get guys rest where you can still have one of Vital or Gilbert on the court at all times.
Yeah, and I think
Gilbert had two fouls.
Had two fouls.
Can make a
and
compelling
both of those guys played poorly last night.
Yeah.
Like, why are we fighting to make sure one of those guys is on the floor? If you know, last night they were both liabilities.
Yeah, but
that's
true.
Way worse than Gilbert was not on the floor.
And
offense functions.
You gotta try it. You gotta try something. If he's not getting it done, he's gonna cycle through the other guys. What I saw last night was Hurley tried absolutely everything to get something going on offense, and almost nothing worked consistently. And the things that did work stopped working. Like going into Carlton early on was really working. They adjusted. We weren't really able to get around it. You know, they were able to get some good looks from three. The defense adjusted. We weren't able to get those anymore. And then when it came time for somebody to beat a guy off the dribble and get a look, we don't have the personnel for that. I don't think there's a coaching solution to win a game like that. I think the solution is we need
get better players.
We need either Vital or Gilbert or Booknight needs to be on any given night. Mm-hmm. If none of those guys is having a big night, we're not going to beat a good team, especially if a Cook's getting taken out of the game by other refs.
It would have taken literally one other player to just have an above average night and UConn wins that game.
I was going to say, it feels like this team is like RJ Cole away from being like actually good.
I mean,
like
they were
one
like,
more, yeah, one yeah. more guy who can I like run the offense. RJ. You know, it's just because it feels like I agree with you that Gilbert didn't play great, but I also feel like the offense is non-functional when he's not in the game. So like it's definitely a trade-off, you know, having him off the court if he's because he did take some shots he shouldn't have taken. It feels like he missed the memo on like why he was so effective against Miami that he was trying to like do too much. But like Booknight couldn't get anything going, which is kind of disappointing, but also like, you know, he's a freshman. Like that's going to happen some nights.
Yeah. But, you remember that, that block that Booknight had that was called a goaltend?
It was a goaltend.
Yeah.
It was a goaltend. It was, but it looked amazing.
It was awesome.
That was
a very cool
moment of the night.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they should have given Booknight a longer leash.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
He was not good in the 15 minutes he played, but in a game where no one is shooting well, he can't take three shots, especially not when Gilbert's 1-for-9.
Well, and it's also like how it's hard for a kid to get like into the flow of the game if he's not getting enough consecutive minutes. You know, if he's coming in for 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, it's hard to like get into the flow of things, find your shot.
Yeah.
At what point is Booknight's minutes going to start going up considerably?
Hopefully soon.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened. Like last night was probably the night to try it.
Yeah.
I think over the next three games, given that they're all games that we should win handily, you're going to see a lot more of him.
I also would have liked to see Sid get some more minutes. I felt like he was bringing some good energy off the bench. You know, he had that like monster dunk and he seemed like he was really active on defense. He does some boneheaded things sometimes, but he does offer a new look, and he's such a strong passer in the high post. Especially when, again, you're having trouble getting your offense going, having somebody who can pass the ball in that area does give you a lot more options.
Yeah. Sandy's one of our best athletes. So when we're playing teams like that,
yeah,
he's one of the few guys that can legitimately athletically match up.
Tricky part about that is Akook and Carlton were playing well enough that, you know, like you couldn't take Polly off the court for Sid at that point.
Why not?
Because Polly's the only one on the team who could shoot further than 2.5 feet away from the hoop last night.
All right. That's fair.
One of the big flaws, I mean, is always going to be, we've talked about this 100 times now, is just being able to get Polly shots.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Like, yeah, like as you mentioned, the same thing is true with Carlton, where like they can get hot, but if your guards aren't playing well, it's actually pretty easy to take Polly and Carlton out of the game if you don't have to worry too much about Gilbert, Vitale, or Booknight.
Yeah.
Especially a team that has size and athletes.
Yeah, I kind of wish Polly was able to like create his own shot. That'd be pretty cool.
If Polly had Sid's athleticism, he'd be gone already.
Yeah, but he'd be long gone.
Well, he could also create a shot off the dribble if he was that athletic.
If you combine those two,
you have the perfect.
That's Caron Butler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We should be looking for a player like that. I think.
You think we should
look for a player?
Andre Jackson might be that player.
Really, really, really good at everything.
Andre Jackson's dunk reels, like the constant just showing up in my feed of these like ridiculous, just monster dunks. I fucking love it.
It's such sex.
I will say, watching games when the two like essentially senior guards are the two guys really struggling and everyone else is doing relatively okay. And then you start looking at like RJ Cole on the bench and looking up the recruiting class. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll get there.
I'm like, yeah, this game kind of sucks, but
we're gonna be good next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had to tell myself that like a few times when things were starting to fall apart in this game. Like anything positive you get out of this year is sort of a bonus in terms of wins or losses or a tournament berth or whatever.
Just knowing berth what's would be coming so nice, next, though.
It would be amazing.
Like, think about how much more exciting next season would be if we made the tournament this year.
Absolutely. Like,
won a couple of games.
Right. But like if they don't make the tournament this year, it's going to be really hard to be like devastated about that, knowing what's coming.
Yeah.
Like as long as they don't completely shit the bed, like as long as they're as competitive as they should be.
That's also why
I
think
doesn't go to the NBA.
What?
I'm really not worried about that.
Oh, you never know.
I don't think either of those. I mean, they're both very promising players, but like, look at their numbers. They're not producing at that level. Like there are going to be a lot of guys who are going to go pro.
Akook is basically freshman year this year. Roscoe Smith at this point.
I don't know about that.
With blocks.
I just think it would be so advantageous for these kids to have next year at UConn, because it looks like we're going to be good, and the UConn to the Big East is going to be a story. You know, people are going to want to talk about it, and so the team's going to get a lot of attention. And you know, that's how you get a better draft spot. And you know, I'm personally looking forward to our top 10 defense next year, and Akook being like the number one shot blocker in the country.
I am as well. You know what I was thinking about last night during the game, listening to all the UConn fans at the Garden.
They were so loud.
They were great. I was thinking, I really hope the Big East schedules our first Big East game to be the one at St. John's.
Mm. Yeah.
Open up on the road at MSG.
With the majority of UConn fans. Game.
Yes. I want that to be the first game.
That would be fun.
What do you want the first home game to be? And where do you want it to be?
I want it to be Butler at Gamble, celebration of the 10-year anniversary of the 2011 championship.
That'd only be...
That would be 10 years.
Season.
Yeah, assuming the game
it's
is after
2020
New Year's.
Now.
Although it probably
wouldn't assuming it's after New Year.
I want an Ojeepo. I want to play fucking Georgetown and Gamble, man. Like,
well, we will. We'll get there.
I mean, I know, but
I want the first Gamble, one back to be like, I want it to be like Providence.
Yeah.
Someone we really remember immediately how much we hate them.
that would suck because Providence is going to beat us by 13 for no fucking reason.
That did happen way more than it should have.
I will say I'm very looking forward to inviting Xavier to Gamble. I would like to yell at them from our seats.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen right away though. Because
I want to build up to it.
I want like at least a few games of us like both hating the same teams for a little bit before we have to hate each other.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah.
I've already transitioned. Fuck Xavier. I'm there.
I'm honestly, I'm so glad the game against them was so fucking awesome because like now we're bringing that like, all right, the first time we played each other in God knows how long was this double overtime, like really honestly fantastic basketball game that both teams showed up for, like was loud, everybody was crazy, and like now we're gonna just get to play each other twice a year and like we get to carry this sort of not animosity but just like momentum into our rivalry.
I have animosity.
That's good. It's good. It's important.
I actually kind of want Creighton to be our first Big East home game just so we can like pelt them with garbage and really give them a taste of what the actual Big East is like. Like, this conference is so much fun.
Some old school. Yeah. Some old school Big East flavor like, where they
suck!
We burn their bus in the parking lot before they leave.
They show up with cookies in their face.
You know what's funny is, this is back to the other point. I actually feel like I'm more optimistic about UConn making the tournament now than I was like 2 days ago.
I'm more optimistic, I think, about them being a tournament quality team. I just don't know if they're going to have the resume.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to have the resume. But the like the two games they've now lost, if you're not counting St. Joe's, if that's just an aberration, which I kind of feel like it was an aberration. But like they have basically not played well in either of those games and were like right in it. And I'm like, they can win 3 games in a row, 4 games in a row if they have to. In the tournament? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I am more optimistic about them winning the AAC tournament than I was before.
Teams that can play defense like that for days, like several days in a row, like that's how you win these tournaments, is being able to keep that level of intensity, particularly on defense. Because, like, you're going to have a cold night, you know.
That's a big part of it. But
part of it,
what's the other big key to every one of our teams that has won a Big East tournament?
A guard putting a team on their back.
You had one dominant scorer, whether it was, you know, Chris Smith or Ray or Rip or Karan or Ben Gordon or
Kemba,
but that guy, I don't know if that guy is on
the team. Okay, let me counterpoint. When he won the Big East tournament with Ray Allen, he didn't actually score that many points that night. Ricky Moore is the one who actually won that game because he scored a bunch.
You can get through a game that way. But
well, that's my point. That's my point.
A number of games in a row, we need someone to be able to score consistently.
Well, you're both right though, and that was kind of where I was going. Is like they've proven to me at least that they're good enough that they can ugly up and win a game, and I just frankly don't expect Vitale and Gilbert to both go ice cold all the time. Like to exactly what you were saying at the top, Peter, like if two of the four of Carlton, Gilbert, Vitale, and Booknight are scoring, like I don't think we lose. Certainly other things have to go bad for them to lose at that point.
Yeah.
Like that's a good team if two of the four of them are playing well. And if it's more than that, if the other two are just having an average night, they're going to beat anybody in this conference.
There certainly doesn't appear to be anyone unbeatable.
No.
We say this. There's going to be at least one more St. Joe's-esque game on the calendar, and we're going to do a podcast afterwards, and it is going to be morbid. Just putting that on record now.
I fucking hate Tulsa so much. Like, there's no place on earth I hate more than Tulsa fucking Oklahoma. I never want to think about them again. Hate them.
Well, good news. You are never going to think about them again.
I won't. You're right. I won't.
That's true.
I
thought it was in New Mexico.
You know what? You can't prove it. You can't prove they are not in New Mexico. No one's ever been there.
I mean, the tornado could have picked it up and moved God knows where. They don't even know where they are. Once you get to Tulsa, you can never leave.
It's like there's the first Brigadoon.
Exactly.
There's a stretch of like 5 weeks where we play like 13 games and 11 of them are against top 100 teams and the other two are Tulsa.
Oh,
so we are definitely losing at least one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Probably both. And then we'll beat Villanova.
No, I think we'll beat Tulsa at home.
Yeah, we'll beat them at home. True. We're going to lose in Oklahoma.
No one has expected us to win at Tulsa for like 4 years, and we haven't been wrong.
Nope.
No. And Tulsa has had some dog shit team.
It's just been
they're always dog shit. They're Tulsa. Like, God.
Oh, they got it to the tournament. Their was their first year in the American? Or, like, they were an at-large team and they should not have been?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's a Frank Faith team. So, like, they're going to be okay. Like, he's not a great coach, but he's functional. Like, he's going to, like, put a team together that's not going to go out and be embarrassing most of the time. So, like, they're always going to be just good enough to beat us in Tulsa.
I'm embarrassed to have to play them.
I understand. I look, no disrespect to the people.
What?
No.
A little bit of disrespect.
Large amounts of disrespect.
Their drinking water comes right out of the toilet.
Students, faculty, and staff of that school.
Your school sucks.
But the issue really is that you're all a pathetic joke. And no one respects you.
That's true.
I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm just the truth hurts, which you've learned if you are from Tulsa. Sometimes things are bad. You're those things.
Congratulations. You just passed the third grade in Tulsa. That is all you need to know.
Are you guys at all concerned? Like, how much of what we saw against Indiana was Gilbert and Vitale having a bad game versus them getting exposed? Like, did Indiana provide sort of like the recipe of how to shut them down, or you think they were just cold?
I mean, they've been shut down before, and then they've produced later, and then they've been shut down again. The production from those guys is going to be cyclical, I think.
I mean, sometimes Vital makes his ridiculous threes, and sometimes he doesn't, and he did not make them last night. Like, if he was making those threes from, you know, Bronx, like, they would have won the game, but he wasn't.
I think partially it comes down to Indiana just having better players than we've played for most of the season. Like, the way they were defending us, they were playing up, they were pressuring the ball, they were doubling all the high screens, they were making it difficult to throw entry passes. Like, we have not turned the ball over all year. To have 22, I think, is a reflection of, yeah, it was an off night, but Indiana being one of the better defensive teams we're going to play.
There was a stretch where Christian Vital made like four turnovers in a row on just like
it was the same play.
Yeah, trying to throw that inbound or the entry pass over and over again.
Oh, God.
The entry pass that had no chance of success any of those four times.
None.
Like, it wasn't even like I see what it wasn't like I see what he's doing. It just didn't work out. It was throwing the ball directly to an Indiana player.
I'm not overall concerned though. But
what's Indiana's defense rank? Just out of curiosity.
They are 47th.
Well,
yes, 47th.
Good.
And as I said in the Slack, we only play five more games this season against a better defense, by the numbers at least. And two of them are Temple. So.
Oh,
well.
And two of them are Memphis State?
Neither of them are Memphis. Actually, no.
Memphis State.
Memphis State did move to 44th, so they are ahead.
Carlton and Vitale at the moment have two of the highest six turnover percentages since 2010 of guys with, like, at least 20% usage.
Not great.
And one of them's Enosh Wolf, who played 25 minutes, so probably two out of the five.
I mean, Carlton
Steve
shot
Enoch
nine
has the record. 23.
Carlton shot 9 for 14, and he had a below average offensive efficiency game. That's because he turned it over four times.
Yeah.
Like, he's it's not great.
It's Enoch, Carlton, and then 2011 Baz, 2012 Boatwright, and then this year's Vitale, and then 2012 Baz.
You don't love to
like
see it.
Baz and Boat 2012 each being all the way up there probably explains a lot about 2012.
What I missed it. What is this? What is this number you're discussing?
Turnover percentage.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh God, yeah. That's not good.
Turnovers feel problematic.
Yeah.
I mean, they fueled the entire, like, last. When we were up 10, and then we turned it over like six times in the last 5 minutes, and they scored 18 points on, like, that kind of the whole game.
You know, there are certain teams that can, like, withstand turnovers better, but I always feel like it's teams that either force a lot of turnovers or play in transition, and we are really not much of a transition team at the moment. Like, we have a really hard time on occasion getting our own shots. So turning the ball over a lot is really shooting yourself in the foot.
Also, weirdly, Christian Vitale missed his free throws. Like, that was weird.
He missed one, and then it seemed to, like, break him because he missed his next two.
He's still almost 87% of the season.
We're 192.
He had missed two on the season, and then he missed three last night.
Right.
And one of them, at least one of them, was a 1-1, so he missed, so technically four.
That's not how this works. Stop changing the rules, Meech.
That's some Tulsa math right there. Silence.
I gave a hearty exhale through my nose, though.
Oh, okay.
So they don't play again for a week, and then they play something called St. Peter's.
The next three games are all against relatively bad teams, St. Peter's, New Hampshire, NGIT. What do you guys want to see out of those games? Like
triple-digit scores for us and only us.
Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to get up and then put their feet on their throat. You know, like, I want them to not get the lead and then give it up like they have been. Like, you know, I want them to win by 40 points. Like, these teams suck. Like, crush them into dust.
I am kind of tired of the Mario Karting.
Yeah.
The what?
Mario Karting.
Mario Karting.
You go on a big lead and the
band physics so that really the worst game for that was RC Pro-Am.
I know.
Was an NES game made by Rare in the late 80s. The cars all had to be on the screen together, and it was an isometric one, so like you couldn't even get far away. And there were also rockets. It was a good game.
Fun facts on retro video games from Peter.
The next game,
I could turn this into a full-on retro video game podcast, no problem.
Nobody would notice.
Did Meacham die?
Yeah. After those three cupcake games is the first conference game on New Year's Day at Cincinnati. I cannot explain to you how little I want to watch that game.
I am so excited for that game to be over and to never have to play at Cincinnati again.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
We're going to end up playing. You're going to be playing at Xavier, though. It's not going to be any different.
It'll be different. It's not Cincinnati.
Bill Murray goes to Xavier.
Are classier than Bearcats.
It's just watching those.
They wear hats.
50-point slogs.
We need more hat-wearing mascots, I think.
Yeah,
like I agree.
Cavaliers and Musketeers.
The Mad Hatters.
Grenadiers. UTEP, they have a hat-wearing mascot.
What is UTEP again? The Miners?
Miners, yeah.
Nice. That's good. That's legit. Not really what I was thinking of, but yeah, I'm on board. But I like old-timey hats. Like Musketeer, Cavalier, Minutemen, even though Pirates? I don't respect that school. Pirates. Pirates wear good hats. Like in terms of how much this all has to go.
What? I have some bad news about the editing process.
Do we want to talk to David Benedict Cumberbatch?
We should talk to him about why he hasn't fired our dog shit football coach.
It's almost Boxing Day. You can't fire a football coach.
This is preposterous, David.
Hey, David's here.
Hey,
I demand action.
Hey, David.
Play the music.
Remember when you fired Kevin Ollie? You fired Bob Diaco? And those were aggressive moves, and they were the right moves. You need to do the right move again. Get this clown dick out of here. It's too late to get a Dazio now. I'm very disappointed.
I would, but I'm very distracted by Brexit at the moment. And it's it's just there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Who are you voting for? Are you voting for the boy?
I will say I do like Jezza. Not as good as Maka.
Are these
definitely
cricket
a candidate
players?
No, I would never root for the curmudgeonly Joe Root.
I don't even know. You lost me now. He's not said either of the two names I know, though I think Jezza is supposed to be a nickname for Jeremy Corbyn. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, I got that
Joe
much.
Joe Root appears to actually be a cricket player.
Well, the wild thing was that I shat-talk him on this beloved podcast. And immediately after, he scored a double century in a test match against New Zealand. So you can never really
Holy
predict
shit.
These things.
A double century? That's two centuries. Mm-hmm. That's nearly three.
That's centuries. Two Denim Browns.
He really laid down roots, you could say.
We wouldn't, but we could.
As we do say, where I come from.
Oh, shit.
Where do you come from?
Shropshire.
That's right.
Dave, are you going to tell us about the fine fare and beverages at J. Timothy's Tavern in Plainville, Connecticut?
Absolutely.
You should dedicate this one to Jerry Burris.
I'm thankful for all of my supporters on this beloved podcast. And
especially Jerry Burris. Say his name.
Especially Jerry. You are a trusted friend and advisor. You're a real East Ender to me.
Oh, no.
I would love to tell you about the Supernaut IPA in honor of the University of Central Florida, which, thanks to me, you will no longer be seeing.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you, David.
The Supernaut is 5.8% by volume, and it is made by the New England Brewing Company of Woodbridge, Connecticut. And you can get a 10-ounce draft for $5.25, and if you drink enough of them, you'll forget that this conference ever existed.
An excellent bargain. David, do you have anything for people like me who don't like IPAs?
Perhaps you can have the No Limits Hefeweizen.
All right, well, that sounds like good. A good hef.
Is there anything where they just put chicken parts in the beer? Chickenhofer?
I'm sure they will if you ask.
The staff will accommodate any requests, I'm sure.
Now, do you get to go out back and pick the chicken that you want to eat? Is it like that?
It's classy, like Russ. It's not out back. Like it's in a nice like showroom.
Plus, I don't want to eat a chicken. I want, if I'm getting wings, I want like 12
many
chickens.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just talking about for your beer.
Oh.
Oh right, the beer chicken.
No, they're in the. I think they're in the vats where, okay. It's brewed.
Yeah, you gotta stew it in there, otherwise you barely can taste it.
Yeah, it's not like a salad dressing. It's part of the recipe.
J. Timothy's is not going to be sponsoring our podcast anymore.
Well, David, thank you as always, and thank you to the folks at J. Timothy's Tavern in Plainville, Connecticut, for the beer with chicken in it.
Ta-ta, ta-ta.
Okay.
Bye, David. Fire Randy Edsel. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Do we want to talk about football?
Never, ever.
I mean, we should talk about it enough to say that we should get a new coach because ours is dog shit.
Okay.
His former players are like, yeah, of course you hate him. He's the worst. He's not doing the job. We're going nowhere. He's making no progress.
700 players have left the team.
Like, what are we doing? Like, get a new coach. Anybody. Surely you can find someone who will just do the basics of the job. Like, we don't need to be the worst team in the country every year.
This year we weren't.
Or what were we?
126, baby.
Oh, okay. So there were, what, four worst teams?
Yes.
You're not sympathetic to the fact that once he gets all of his really bad players on the roster, the team will not be as bad?
Yeah, that doesn't really jive.
I mean, his players are leaving. There was a kid today who was one of his recruits who's leaving. Like, I don't know what's going on over there.
It's too many. It's too many guys. Like, they're gonna be worse next year.
I'm convinced you guys are making up several of the names because I've never heard of most of these people.
Well, you don't watch football.
Yeah, I know.
So probably why you don't know who those guys are.
I guess could be.
And that's why they're bad, because you don't support them well enough.
I know. Mm-hmm. Is Joe Flacco on the team? I know, yes. Joe Flacco. Deion Sanders is a football.
He played baseball at UConn, not football. Oh.
Barry White? Is Barry White a football man? Oh, no. Russ is naked.
speaking of Barry White.
Are we done talking about football?
I'm naming all the football players I know. I got to the large R&B singer part of the program.
Is Donald Brown still on the team?
His son is.
I've never heard of him. Donald Brown the fourth.
Willie Yan is playing wide receiver next year.
Meech, what do you
think? If I could be serious for a moment, I'm agnostic. Like, if they fired Edsel tomorrow, I don't think I would care that much. If they didn't fire him, whatever. There's no coach that's coming in here next year and is going to make them a good team. I think the devil's advocate reasons for keeping him here are: you can't keep firing head coaches after three seasons. Because
you can if they suck.
You can, but then you are going to struggle very much to get a replacement. Speaking of that, if UConn does not show any willingness to pay to get better coaches, you're just wasting money getting rid of his staff. from that sense, like, you give him a fourth year if the team is dog shit next year, which
it will be.
Pretty good chance. But I mean, even if they're worse than they are this year, they have a chance to win four games because they play seven bad teams. I think you give him the fourth year, you give him another recruiting class to try and build something, because that's what we're going to have to be. And if things go really bad, then you fire him next year and you start over with like a full independent like cycle starting.
That all sounds fine to me, unless he actually told Jamar Summers to cut his hair, in which case he can get fucked.
Yes.
Yes.
Agree. Very much agree.
I did content about women's basketball today.
Yeah, tell us about your content.
Did anybody read my content other than Peter?
I did.
I read it. I skimmed it.
So I started thinking about this because at the Notre Dame game on Sunday, which was super fun, by the way.
Yes, it was.
That place was packed. It was loud. And then we just absolutely slapped the shit out of them. It was great. But I would just like to state for the record that I would like to have the full UConn band at as many games as possible and fire drums at halftime as often as possible. Anyway,
I am also pro fire drums.
They were fucking dope.
They
made this announcement how they were going to like turn the lights down. People were like, wait, what? And I was like, oh shit, here comes the drum line. We're getting some fire drums. I was super excited. And then like a flaming baton also to credit our baton twirler who was twirling flaming baton, which is also extremely cool.
Shout out.
But they sounded great. And, they played the national anthem, which is also always what we should do instead of having people sing it.
I was there when they brought back the baton twirler. There hadn't been baton twirlers there.
They're great.
Shout out,
I think,
Alex.
As a rule, the
and then Alyssa McLaughlin.
The more things you could light on fire.
Yeah. But it was just like such an awesome atmosphere, and it was super loud. And the reason this is important is because there were four recruits, two of whom are committed, sitting together in the stands. And that includes Paige Buckets, who we have talked about before. As well as Amari DeBerry, who is committed for the 2021 class. She is ranked number 5 in the country. She's the top big in that class.
Oh, she rules. I love her.
She is really good.
Yeah.
She can do a lot of things. She's going to be really fun. And also, I think it's pronounced Ozzy. Ozzy Fudd.
I assumed it was Azy. I just, in my head, she was named after Jennifer Azy.
Oh, my God. I think she is. I think that's real. I think she is named after Jennifer Azy. So maybe it is Azy. That's probably it then. Anyway, she is the number one recruit in the 2021 class, a combo guard who can just score like nobody's business. She had in her freshman year, she had back-to-back 41-point games and like averaged almost 30 points a game as a sophomore. It like just stupid, stupid stats. She can score from everywhere. She has not committed to anybody yet, but she was there, and there was another player, Caroline, it's like Descharm or something or other. She's playing at Nobles in Greenough. She's ranked in the top 50.
Noble. Oh, I Noble. Know that place. We had a player from there.
Yeah, she's a top 50 guard. She looks like she's a pretty solid defender. You know, she can score. She's not the athlete that Azy is. Azy, I'm gonna go with Azy. But they were all at this game sitting together in the stands. So that's why I started talking about them, because we have all these like really great players coming in and it's fun and exciting.
I'm glad Gino is recruiting again.
Yeah.
So they have 5 players coming in next year. And I was thinking about this. So we're losing Crystal, obviously, which is a big loss. But they're losing Kyla and they're losing Molly Ben and they're losing Evelyn Adebayo.
Addition by subtraction.
So
do
those
not disrespect
four are
Molly Ben.
Please. I will disrespect her.
Kyla Irwin's shooting like 50% from the floor right now, just for the record.
there will be no Kyla Irwin disrespect on this podcast.
No.
Another thing I was right about.
Molly double digits bent.
So Paige Buckets is coming in, but then they also have this player, I think it's pronounced McLean. I'm not exactly sure, but she kind of reminds me of Gabby Williams a little bit. Just like super leaping ability, super athletic. She might actually be the most athletic player in the class next year. And can just like jump right out of the gym, but like plays bigger than her. She's 5'11", but she's like a shot blocker. She's going to be interesting.
I'm extremely excited to have 2 6'5" players on the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Peter brought up a good point in the Slack today, which is nice. as great as Paige Buckets is going to be, like as a basketball player, by far her best quality is how she will shit talk absolutely anybody who will listen to her or anybody within earshot.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait to see that.
There was one of those on the highlight. We've already talked about the she can't guard me, like just to someone, just to some third party. She can't guard me. Don't worry. I don't need
I like to think like she sits in class and like just says that about everybody sitting around her.
I could smoke you and smoke you. But then like another time, like she scores on some girl and just like is immediately like just talking shit like right in the face. And I was like, hell yeah.
She really does have the Diana Taurasi swag. Like she's got that whole vibe about her and I'm extremely into it. Like that's the kind of player you just love to have on your team because they just make it so much fun to watch them play.
Yeah.
Looking reminds at me of the I could see that. Looking at
reminds
the,
you of who?
Khalid Al-Amin.
She is from Minnesota.
There it is. They're basically the same person.
Looking at the plus minus from the Notre Dame game is absolutely hilarious. Dangerfield is plus 33. Williams is plus 30. And then the other starters are 27, 23, 21. And then the bench is 2, minus 2, minus 5, minus 9. Feel like it's Aubrey a good Griffin. Thing Geno's recruiting is my point.
Aubrey Griffin is good, though. I like Aubrey.
Yeah.
She's been playing like really well.
Yeah, she had a great game, whatever that game before was.
Seton Hall,
which is where her dad played.
That's right.
Yeah, she kicked the shit out of them. She had an awesome game that day. She's also really athletic. She's been showing a lot for a freshman.
It's very weird that she's, you know, that we only had two recruits come in this year, given how much space there was on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, he's even said it. Like, the last few classes have sucked. Like, they haven't been, but they would
hope. He knew that was his job, right?
Maybe he should recruit.
Well, I mean, seems like that's working.
Yeah, he might have figured that out.
He's one of the players he's got committed for 2021 is Nico. I think it's Mole. Mole.
She's 2020.
She's 2020.
Yeah, sorry, 2020. But like, he fucking flew to Croatia to get her to come here. So like, obviously he's doing something.
I guess he woke up.
Pretty good too. Shit,
like I got to actually do this again.
He's probably sourcing spices. He was like, happened upon a court.
He definitely just flew to. He definitely just flew to Italy and like had some wine and then.
Woke up in Croatia.
Took a boat over the Adriatic. There was
someone sent him an IG video of Nika playing, and then 2 days later, she was on the team.
Maybe Taurasi invited him to Croatia to meet with some oligarchs, and it was like.
I actually think she's going to be a good player to play, even though she's a guard. I think she and Paige are actually probably pretty good together because she's like a real pass first point guard. And Paige has said she kind of considers herself more of a combo guard. And like, obviously Paige is a phenomenal passer, but like, she's a real scorer. And Nika's more of a, she's a real pass first point guard. And she's solid on defense. She's in whatever like Croatian league she's in, she leads her league in assists and steals.
I mean, when Taurasi was a junior and a senior, she generally played off the ball.
She did, yeah.
You know, technically, but like Conlon would bring the ball up and then Taurasi would initiate the offense. I think.
Well, she played with Sue Bird her first 2 years.
But like her last 2 years.
Yeah, she was like LeBron.
When she was dominating the offense.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's going to be Paige bringing the ball up the court, though.
I mean, it probably will be a lot of it, but it gives them other options. Too. Yeah, Christian Williams is going to be on that team. Westbrook's going to be on that team. Like, they're going to have
maybe it's Westbrook. I forgot about
her. Yeah, they're going to have a lot of guard options, which is good.
I just feel like Paige is such a good passer, but just from what we've seen of her and what her ego probably is, probably she considers herself more of a scorer.
She does need to work on her defense a little. I think she and Gina are probably going to butt heads a little bit there. Like, and she's even said that she's like, I play defense good sometimes, so like that's gonna be a thing.
Hence the 6'5" kids. Let's just get more.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Tall people. Then the guards
don't have
to play defense at all. There's
1 6'5" girl coming in next year, and then one the year after.
I don't know how good the one coming in next year is.
I haven't found really anything about her. She's not ranked in the top 100, and she's a 3-star, but. She's 6'5", but I have seen zero. I could not find any highlights on her.
And so offers from Louisville, Tennessee, LSU, Boston College, North Carolina, Miami.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing to remember is that women's basketball recruiting is abysmal. So
it sucks.
If you're not one of, like, first off, the top 80 kids are 5-stars somehow. But if you're not one of the top 20, no one's watching you play, I don't think.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Due respect to hoop girls.
Girls.
They gotta change the. I mean, it, the That's U really and the pathetic. C. Like,
How
come
can
on,
you give
guys.
Up that classic branding, Megan? I mean, it's
yeah, that 1996 yeah. branding. God, it's God.
Like, it's like that's it's like a WNBA team, like an original WNBA team.
Yeah. Like, why it's not just call crazy. It
the Salt girls, Lake City Hoop Girls?
Like, call it Sports like, Edge
Women's Basketball Recruiting.
Like, why do we got to be dumb about it?
It doesn't need a clever name. Like, but that's it was the '90s. That's how the '90s worked. You were there.
It's on ESPN. Just call it ESPN.
It's on ESPN. It's the dumbest thing. Like, it's so cringeworthy. Like, please, like, talk. You have women who work there. Talk to them, please. I'm begging you.
They love Hoop Girls.
No, they don't. I guarantee it.
Remember, it's women's basketball. You're not allowed to criticize anything.
So everybody get ready for Amari DeBerry because she's going to be great. And she's 6'5".
Missing out on. I'm so excited about Paige Buckets. I do things like forget Megan Walker's going to be on the team.
I know,
that
right?
That is my level of excitement about Paige Buckets.
And
Kristen Williams is going to be on the team next year. Like, this team is going to score 100 points every game next year.
Who's going to be, like, what's the starting lineup going to be next year? Like, does Bucket, Paige. Does Paige start right away, or does Westbrook?
Yeah, I bet it's Westbrook.
I think probably Westbrook starts maybe at the beginning. Well,
Westbrook's very good.
Yeah, she is very good. I think she probably gets the start to begin the season.
I wouldn't be surprised if they go to three guards. I mean, he hates freshmen unless they're unbelievably
good.
I mean,
Kristen Williams started all last year, so.
Taurasi started as a freshman.
Yeah. Eventually.
We've decided that Paige is going to be as good as the best women's basketball player of all time, so.
I mean, it's certainly
only as good.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they go to three guards, like, because you can play them with Megan Walker and like Ono and like just fucking just score from everywhere.
Or is he going to want to have Griffin on the floor for a more conventional two?
You know, they've got a lot of options, and you still got Makarat.
I hope he actually like uses substitutes next year.
I think he will.
You will. He's going to have good players.
Right. Like, Makarat's going to come off the bench. You're going to have, you know, Griffin in the mix. Like, there's going to be some solid, there's gonna be a lot of good players on this team next year. Like, if he does go eight, you know, if he goes 8-9 deep, like, it's 8 or 9 really good players.
Yeah. I mean, and you're going from a team like with 8 or 9 players to a team that can go 8 or 9 players.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there.
Exactly.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Dime Bet Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.
I'm Bronx.
Bronx. Bye.